Paul, is it? Am I the right name? I'd like to read this poem, actually. My first poem I had published there on the 14th of January in Revival Press, so I was pretty excited about it. And I called it Finding Her Bracelet. The coral blue glistens, drawing my gaze downward. The silvery light stems raise a pinky hue like trout gills. Lost lay abandoned in the morning breeze, raindrops dancing round the sedges. Looking left to right, I bent slowly to retrieve an object. With inbuilt fear and sense of stumbling stupidity, possibly may only be a trick of the light, or the silver inner shell of a cigarette box. Clutching the object to reveal its solid form between the bell table and the leader. Had she rushed in colourful exaltation from colourful performance, caught its clasp on dangling silken scarf, dropped in the midnight breeze, conjuring up an image of a cornflower blue turning mauve-haired grandmother, perilously oblivious to her loss. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Next up is Sheila Fitzpatrick O'Donnell.
Snowbound. The driveway entrance is carpeted with snow. Snowflakes are falling still. The cherry blossom tree stands naked, with contorted arms outstretched, offering salvation to winged creatures fatigued upon her twigs, that feed from mesh feathers which swing from her branches. An audience of feathered onlookers stretch across the overhead cables, while below, stray cats skulk about in search of easy prey. From the kitchen window, I fling crusts of bread, listen to the soft tone of the birdsong that brings great joy to the bleakness of this snowbound winter's day. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Sheila, but I think everyone else has 5 minutes now at this point, in case you want to come up and say 2 poems instead of the one. Could we please now call up Bridget Wallace?
I wasn't sure which one to read, so you did say we can read 2 of them, Paul. They're not terribly long, anyway.
No, you're fine.
Yeah.
No,
okay. The first one is called Pinprick. Can you hear me okay? That evening, as I arched for your mouth kiss, you deftly tilted my chin, kissed instead the silver pin I wore to secure my scarf. Later, I buried the gesture in a poem, its complexity forever preserved in the clarity of black on white. Before the first intimacy of that night, you removed it wistfully and held it towards the light, spun in your fingertips a miniature fairy tale spindle that could prick the mystery of the heart, spin the yarn that fastens lovers in 100 years of dreaming sleep. And after we fell asleep, a silver speck of moonlight rolled from the nightstand and disappeared through a crack in the secret that lovers always keep, that a gesture, simple as a pinprick, could ever sting so sharply or run so deep. This one is called Gilo Checkpoint or Gilo Checkpoint 4 a.m. If you ever visit Bethlehem, you'll probably go through Gilo Checkpoint. While darkness still covers the little town, they come from the shadows like so many jaded ghosts. They come singly and they come in groups, on foot, in taxis, with colour-coded number plates. A grandfather ferries his wife on a donkey and cart. By 4 a.m. there are hundreds here, from Beit Suhoor, Beit Jala, or Dehesha refugee camp. Old men, young men, women, each to their separate pens. Some still wearing on furrowed brows the stamp of hastily discarded sleep. Some who always keep al-Fajr, silently telling their bees, kufiyas wrapped against the early morning chill. And here they assemble before the star-spangled gate, fashioned from steel as solid as a work permit denied, chilling as a Jerusalemite identity revoked. Here they assemble, perfecting the art of waiting, as the poet once said, waiting to wait at tables, farm the beloved earth, or haul rocks for yet another settlement. Little groups begin to huddle around the bubbling billy cans, tea brewed before dawn on old gas rings, shared among neighbours and companions, and as they warm their hands by the comforting glow, murmured conversation soon begins. Outside the cage, a white-haired, gentle man, a visitor from a foreign land, unearths from a well-travelled case a peaceful violin, lifts it tenderly to that place beneath his chin, and as he draws the bow across the strings, a man in the cage unearths a forgotten smile, lifts it over the rim of his old tin teacup, and in that chill moment before dawn, he is warmed by a simple thought, that although the world at times may seem tone-deaf, today at least, the strains of "We Shall Overcome" will wake the little town of Bethlehem. Thank you.
Thank you, Bridget. In case you're wondering about the dip and flicker of lights, it's not last round yet. It won't be last round until Abbas and Dena. It's just that in Cork we tend to be better poets than electricians. And next up, if someone's going to prove that to you, Mr. Billy Ramsell.
I was also going to this poem about all the children who were never born. Not only never born, were never conceived. I suppose I'm waiting beside Funker. This is our eternity, our endless file, our fidgety file receding into the July dusk. This dumb, damp gravel path in the funfair's mingled glows. We wait forever in the drizzle here, just the other side of possibility. Here are the daughters you extinguished that night you didn't let him pull your pants down in your breath-hot poster bedroom, and on the nights you stayed faithful, and on the nights that you took the recommended precautions. And there are the boys without whom your life is diminished, just as hagfish are diminished for the want of the sun in their mile-deep trenches, cruelly, unutterably, and without the tiniest sense of diminishment. Behind them you can see your shadow siblings, the kin who could have sat in your saddle on life's swirling carousel, the brothers you condemned to nothingness at your own moment of conception, and your half-jealous sisters who never existed. They loiter in front of the uncles and aunts who would have coveted you, who would have cuddled you. Then, in stranger fashions, in greyer get-ups, the further along our lineup you look, are the fruit of your family's lost branches, of the limbs that never quite made it out of the trunk, that were cancelled by a caught train, or by hesitation, or by the right words spoken in haste. We lucky few near the front of the queue can watch from behind the barrier the bright machines go round and round. They whip, they jig, they whirligig. They flash patterns in arrays of gaudy bulbs, yellows in glinting primaries, all slick with summer's sweet precipitation. They pump their absurd music out, carnival tinkling waltzes, hurdy-gurdy tunes, tune-note klaxons when they stop and slow, We can hear their mingled shrieks and diesel sounds. Call her waiting oblivion, maybe. But let me tell you before you slip from the stream that it's not quite complete oblivion. For we know you've seen us. You. Yes, we mean you. Three quarters dozing in first class. Irish tattler spread over your bottle green sweatshirt. As your hair of auburn murmurs and dusk is whipped by the wind through the carriage window. We know you've seen a receding hue in your laptop, in insomnia, in the Huguenot quarter, in the flickering electric traces in the second before the screen goes blank. Behind your reflection when you clip mint from the window box, your tentative fingers splaying each sprig, tuckerlipped, at the bright edges of your sleeping mask, when your eyes snap open and floor, and in the momentary smudge that occurs, all merge, all motion, in all the fine and blended colors, when you turn away from the mirror quickly.
That line definitely receding, it is, yeah?
I was thinking about the Christian bit, you know?
Uh-huh.
I wasn't sure what I was supposed to talk about the poetry and electronics, but...
No, I'm thinking about those poor bastards in the rain up there, you know, on the other side of possibility. Is that line been receding?
I thought about Limerick, but... Anyway.
Is there a hope? Is there a hope for them anyway? Carmino, it's a lovely poem. It's a great poem. Thank you. Next up we have another lovely poet from Limerick. Not a stranger by any means to have Edward O'Dwyer.
I'm going to do the nearest thing I have to a Cork poem. It's really only a Cork poem because I called somebody girl a few times. Anyway, it's called State. Come sit with me, girl. Don't be hasty. Stay just a while more. The night is young, you know. Let us say those things we're longing to say. Sit down and warm by this fire without delay. Sure, it's still not yet fully dark outside. So come sit with me, girl. Don't be hasty. Stay. Let's get relaxed here. But enough foreplay, girl. No more hiding what it's time we show. Let us say those things we're longing to say. Let's find a fitting way to see out this day. Don't think I'm presuming anything, though. Come sit with me, girl. Don't be hasty. Stay and we'll have wine. Let the time get away. So what do you say, girl? It's so soon to go. Let us say those things we're longing to say. It's just talk. And after that, let come what may. It's awful how good things can slip away. So come sit with me, girl. Don't be hasty. Stay. Let us say those things we're longing to say. Lately I'm only writing in form, to be honest, and I'm really just trying to find out which forms suit, which ones I'm comfortable in, really. And this is my
my first attempt at a kind of pontoon. Might be my last, depending on how he reacts, but so anyway, this is the dark and the wind. Before I start, actually, obviously I'm kind of anticipating the loss of my youth, I mean.
Obviously.
Anyway. Okay, so the dark and the wind. I cannot remember what youth taught me. There was an age that abandoned me in the night, when it left me for the dark and the wind, and so then they were gone forever. There was an age that abandoned me in the night. Things that taught me all took off as I was sleeping, and so then they were gone forever. Just maybe it was a windy midwinter night. Things that taught me all took off as I was sleeping. And no, youth left no farewell note on my pillow. Just maybe it was a windy midwinter night. Took like a thief all it had taught me. And no, youth left no farewell note on my pillow. It was gone. And just age there in its place. Took like a thief all it had taught me. That night left only years to fill the gaping space. It was gone, and just age there in its place. And since they're all midwinter nights now, that night left only years to fill the gaping space. Same black tongue billowing now as it had then. And since they're all midwinter nights now, I cannot remember what youth taught me. Same black tongue billowing now as it had then, when it left me for the dark and the wind. Thank you.
Next up we have Joe Sweeney.
Thanks, Paul. Oh, get ready for a shock. It's a ghost story, but it's set in famine Ireland, and it's in a valley where all the people are basically dead. There's just three children left in a house, and there's wild dogs going around the countryside, and think Hitchcock's The Birds, except they are dogs. And if that wasn't enough, the house was haunted. There's a grandmother haunting the house, so there's never a dull moment. And this is called Death in the Man Turk. Just begin. From the Trasna woods that lie sprawled at the feet of the ancient Man Turk mountains, dogs can be heard, starving strays that have been roaming the countryside for weeks. Their open-throated howls, lonely and empty, echo through the mountains. A starvation rekindles in them the instinct of their distant, wolfish ancestors. The mountains loom like vast prehistoric monsters. The sun begins a slow descent. Loose shreds of cloud torn by the raw wind scatter and tinged with crimson like milky white lambs in the wake of some terrible slaughter. The moon lurks patiently like a half-seen ghost waiting for the sun to die. Come in, children, comes a voice from the door of the little cottage in the valley. The night is drawing in. Three forms are crouched in a circle in the yard, two girls and a boy. The boy glances towards the cottage, his fingers playing with bones that he has taken from the tin box in front of him. His two sisters sitting opposite notice this and exchange a furtive glance. Will you not come in, children? The voice is that of an old woman. There's no good out there now. The children make no move to enter the cottage. There is the sound of a stick rapping against the doorpost, but the children do not stir. It's almost dark now, the boy mutters, looking towards the darkening mountains, where with each passing moment, the last of the crimson light is being bled away. The boy's thin, knobbly fingers tighten on the small white bone in his hand as he glances at the doorway again. Recessed between gaunt cheekbones, his large, anxious eyes lift reluctantly, painfully to regard his sisters. Where do you think they are now? We told you, Ellie says, wearily lifting her head. Why do you keep asking? The boy scuffs at the ground with a bare foot. They should have been back by now. Neither sister responds to this. Ellie, the eldest, keeps her eyes averted. She is trying to forget what she saw 3 days before in the mountains.
Thank you, Joe. Another of your ongoing sagas. It's fantastic. Keep them coming back, if they want. We have Mara Harriet. Mara.
There's a lot of the black dog around, as we said. So I'm going to give you reasons to be cheerful. Now, you can blame Joe O'Connor, the novelist, for this, because I heard him on radio giving the original of this, and I thought it put a bit of a cork twist, or actually a monsterizes. And so here we go. I have to read it fast, because 5 minutes, is it?
No.
So it'll be more like a rap kind of beat. No, okay, not too fast. Lately we're worried, we need advice. We were boomtown rats, now poorest church mice. Pay cuts and NAMA, I've updated this now, are making us fearful, but despite scarce jobs, there's reasons to be cheerful. Knob Nation on radio, Daniel Day-Lewis. Writers at Listowel reading to us. Johnny Spillan, the Long Valley Bar. A pint of Murphy's, Rory G on guitar. Van the Man's Moondance, it's not all monster. And Seamus Heaney. Fab Monster Rugby, and Puccini. Owl fellas and pubs boozing and blathering, the great Frank O'Connor, and Enright's The Gathering. Barley Cove, the Burren, the Cliffs of Moher, Killarney's Lakes and Gwydor, the slow rolling waves of Bantry Bay, you two singing It's a Beautiful Day. The White House, O'Vale, Pauline McGlynn, Farmers Markets, Rough Magic, A Little Gin, The Opera House, Roy Keane, Colm Tobin, couples romancing out on the green, Elvis singing blue suede shoes when there ain't no cure for the summertime blues, Jerry Murphy's poems on Bank Holiday Monday, Cork and Kilkenny and Crowkirk on Sunday, yep. Roddy Doyle's The Commitments, REM, not so sure about that, John Kelly's program on Lyric FM, Dawn Over Allahy's The Cliffs of Duneen, Sean Keane from Galway's Revenge for Skibbereen. You may travel far, far from your own native home, but where else would you find a cabin at home? Sweet treasure for all, if only we wanted a riverside walk. A riverside walk we take for granted. No need for hurry, no need for fury. Reasons to be cheerful by Ian Dury. Play the fool, play guitar, Hendrix, Bob Dylan, Johnny Marr. Hugo Hamilton's novel Disguise, the Crawford Pauline Buick Sunset Skies, Rams, The Beatles, Chips on Cove Pier, Nelson Mandela's 92nd year, Muddy Waters singing Got My Mojo Working, read a page of Joyce, then Paul Durkin, try Marion Keyes, see a play by Beckett, read Edna O'Brien, or the Bible, sure, feck it. We may as well do it since books can be cheap, they can't stop us reading, either smile or weep. Binchy or Banville, whatever you feel, Pink McCarthy or Phoenix or Brian Friel. So it ain't all bad, there's reasons to chuckle. Des Bishop trying the couple of fuckle. The banks would give you a pain in the belly, but there's always Neil Delamere's Republic of Telly. So the feckin' government is out of touch, but whoever is in office don't matter much. Recession, depression, the figures, the facts, there's stuff they can't touch, stuff they can't tax. They would if they could, but they can't, so they're peaked. They're hurried, they're worried, they're phased, they're freaked. We laugh out loud at their farcical ambition. Do what we want, don't need their permission. Or to be told how to vote by irrelevant fellas. Just listen to Martha and the Vandellas. Soon it'll be summer with dancing in the streets. And we'll still be here when they lose their seats. When the dads were young, there were hungry years. There were slums in the cities, emigrant tears. So the boom's now bust, but we ain't going back. Don't get depressed, it ain't all that black. Yeah, we live in a country where it rains and it pours, but we have floods, not tsunamis. No earthquakes, no wars. We don't have a famine, unpayable national debt, and the spooks don't waterboard us, at least not yet. There's Crane Lane, Munster Lit, the Lark in the Park, cheetahs in photo, beach fires in the dark. We're not back in England at the time of emergence of Maggie Thatcher and the Tory resurgence. Now we're not up there with your Norways, your Swedens, and other such comparative Edens, but it's a free country still, as free as your Hollands. Thanks to Clons Ball Michael Collins, paramilitary is nearly gone, peace in our homes, and Martin McGuinness is writing poems. The Reverend Ian swallowed his pride and showed a friendly, more feminine side. The polls are going, there's a strain on the purse. But all things considered, it could be worse. We're a shook-up, mixed-up, post-Tiger nation, sorely in need of some consolation. But just look around, you'll see it's all here, a kiss at midnight on Dingle Pier. Our loved ones, our families, our kids, our mates. The National Library's exhibition on Yeats. There's the Jazz Festival, don't be downhearted. Here's to George Bush, and he departed. West Cork in summer, the National Museum. We've reasons to be cheerful, we just have to see him.
I feel double bad, don't I? Double bad. Brilliant. Next up, can we have Patricia Walsh?
Thank you, Paul. How are we doing for time?
Terrible.
just one poem. That's okay?
Yeah.
All right. This one's called Powerful Towers. Freakish I was. Obsessed I was not. Anything could set it off. A flicker of the eye, a late departure, or better still, too soon a goodbye, could tear to the quaking quickly. Run the rules, Rowling, again. No, I'm not the Ice Queen, as once believed, nor does the blood in my aching wrist run blue. Quotidian, yet special, detached, yet intense. No one comprehends Morse code anymore, so don't speak too quickly. All I want to see is idols, holy of clay, walking away, as I work out a code to crack them. Of course it is wrong, of course it will fail, but there's a price to pay for what you haven't done. Failing that, pushing an envelope reveals a snapshot of ice blue blood punishing the warp pit. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Next, could we have Miriam Casey?
Hi,
buffalo soldier. I pulled at my Uncle George. The monkey, I said. We took the back way. There he was, eyes all seeing, all suffering, and I was still a child. I was all stupid. I didn't have the sense to even ask if he could have some fruit. I hoped that back then I could see that something was not right for him, for me, for others. Little buffalo soldier stuck in a cage on the North Main Street.
Thanks, Miriam. Next, could we have Joe Bentley?
Some say the world will end in fire, some say ice. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favour fire. But if I had to perish twice, I think I know enough of hate to say that for destruction, ice, and also great. Oh, is also great and would suffice. I just wanted to say, let me take.
It's Robert Frost right there, is it?
Yeah.
Next up, could we please welcome Terry Murray?
Thank you! Hi. This is my first poem. I won't keep you too long. I'll just read two short poems. This is called The Globe on Captain Drove. Captain Drove is a road in Crumlin in Dublin where I was raised. And it's about the summer memory. At the amphitheatre in Walden's back garden, we balanced on an old plank, sipped juice from melted ice pops, munched Marietta biscuits. We could have been in the Abbey Theatre watching a performance of O'Casey or Brecht. The puppets on Paul Hanna's hands projected sagas onto a sheet slapping on the line. Captain Boyle stumbling home from Mooney's in the village. Mother Courage catching the early bus to do a bit of a cleaning job. Screamed at Mrs. Punch. Tears blotted her matter patty face to hide the baby under the bed, away from her husband's unrelenting fist. Booed at the Garda as he tried to stop two women, tossing over a ball that flattened and torrimed and dented the symmetry of a privet hedge. Warrior, magician, maid and hag, all the archetypes were there, impersonating the neighbours, exposing the quirks in our society at the amphitheatre in Waldron's back garden. I know Marion O'Rourke has also read about the Magdalene Laundry, but this is called The Universe of Yew Trees. It's about the same subject. I think it was 2001, the mayor of Limerick, John Gilligan, unveiled a plot to the women who had died in the Magdalene Laundry and gave them, I suppose, a space. This is the universe of yew trees. It was a tree at the gateway between the worlds that bore witness to the burials of women from the Magdalene Laundry. Cradled them with roots as long and entangled as memories, touched the contours of faces reddened by steam and the incandescent hits of iron, bound hands and arms peel like bark, marred by water and starch from years of scrubbing frocks for other women to flounce over, delicate stockings and pounded linen sheets for double beds. It was a tree again that bore witness on a February afternoon to the gathering, the names chiseled on stone, each blessed and released by a daffodil. In the universe of yew trees, the female bears her fruits without shame. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Next, could we have up to the mic Alma Kay?
Thanks very much, Paul. It's a short one. It's called Love's Like Luster. Love's like luster settles itself upon the bed frame of your mind, creaking as your weight shifts and fumbles with naked reason. Waking brings a sour taste upon my tongue as intimacy slips out the door. A chill curls and spoons into its space. No longer lovers, but strangers out of place, entangled in the hangover of the morning after.
Thanks, Alma. Before I call up the last person on the list, there is space for one more little poem from anyone else who'd like to say one more little poem. Is there anyone else out there who'd like to say one more little poem? Patricia Walsh.
This is called Local Convenience Store. Sleeping alone for pleasure, for design, in a scheme designed to break the hearts of millions. Let the imagination have mercy on us all to pull the duvet over situations of our own making. Not industrious, rather buying time to weigh situations and things as well. The purpose of writing from the early death, never to rise again from slumber. Rather, I suppose, for the sake of convenience for all, have mercy on us all. Thanks.
Thank you, Patricia. And last but by no means least, Mr. Alan Tiffy.
Thank you, Paul. I'm not actually going to read a poem or to tell a story. I'm going to sing a song. Wait to hear it first. I think Niall was talking about George W. Bush, so it just came to me to sing a song about George W. Bush. Some of us wondered what the W stood for in George W. Bush. We thought it rhymed with bankers or something along the way. And now that he's, as Niall said, he's removed from the scene, we can safely talk about him or even sing about him so long. So this song, it's not directly about him, but it's kind of ancillarily about him. So. Yeah. And Phil or Billy. Tangentially. Had my last cup of coffee, my last piece of pie, saw my last glimpse of freedom beneath God's blue sky, wrote my last piece of music. It don't mean a thing, but it kills me to know I won't see you again. Saw my last motion picture, my last baseball game, heard my last Beatles record, the one Ringo sang. Had my last birthday party, it don't mean a thing, But it kills me to know I won't see you again. No more sending you flowers, no more working with cars, just another few hours behind these cold bars. Said my last prayer to Jesus, it don't mean a thing, but it kills me to know I won't see you again. Say goodbye to my buddies, say goodbye to my ma, say goodbye to my daddy if he comes around. Say goodbye to my children and to you, my dear wife, for the great state of Texas is taking my life. Yes, the great state of Texas is taking my life.